This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Good evening. It's nice to see everybody who's been able to show up tonight. Dane, thank you for that song. And thank you for the opportunity to share. I know for my children would be very surprised to hear that I was a bit intimidated to talk about health. Because my children know that whenever they take me anywhere and then the topic of health comes up, they can't get Dad to shut up. It's like, oh, Dad, there he goes again, talking about health. My students will tell you that I like to talk about health because at lunchtime I walk around and I give fist bumps to the students who have healthy food in their lunches. They know that there are three food groups in Mr. Stevenson's life. There is healthy, yummy, and poison. And the healthy, of course, are fresh fruits and vegetables that are uncooked, that are healthy, that are in their whole form. Yummy is stuff that doesn't have a lot of sugar in it, but it's in the lunch, and it's neither good nor bad. And then there's poison. That's anything with a large sugar content. They know that. They know that. They also know, and their parents have also heard, that they are told that their parents might be trying to kill them with the kinds of food they're putting in their lunches. But that if their mothers put healthy food in their diets, that's a sign that their mothers love them. And so they get fist bumps for those things in their lunches. So people know that I'm relatively health conscious. And my students know it for sure. But to talk about health, you've got to step on some toes sometime. Can I hear a Lord have mercy? You got to tell people that they got to change. Can I hear, help me, Lord? Because this started in the beginning, okay? In the beginning. If you want to go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, we're talking about food, right? And the Lord gave the people of the garden all kinds of healthy food to eat. It was all over the garden, non-GMO. Delicious food in all the trees, but there was one tree that they couldn't eat. Just one. One tree. It all centered around food from the beginning. And Adam and Eve were in the garden, and some people speculate that Eve separated herself from Adam, although that's not what the Bible says. But for whatever reason, Adam wasn't paying attention, and the snake spoke to Eve and said, "Didn't the Lord say?" That you couldn't eat from every tree in the garden, but we've got this tree here, but the Lord is holding out on you. Said to the woman, "Did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the tree in the garden, but did God say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, that you must not touch it or you will die?" In verse 4, "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. And you'll be like God, knowing good from evil." And then the woman saw that the fruit in the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate it, and then she gave some to her husband, who also was with her, not separated, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made a covering for themselves. We're talking about health this evening. And the question is, do you trust God with your health? Adam and Eve thought, the serpent planted a seed in Eve's mind to think that the Lord is holding out on you, and somehow because the Lord is holding out on you, you need to try it. And so many times we think that the Lord is holding out on us when it comes to health. Can I say, Lord, have mercy? That same sin is planted in our minds as we think that there are things that we shouldn't try and things that we shouldn't eat because we don't know what we're missing. Isn't that what the world is telling us today? Oh, friends, I know I'm going to make some of you grumpy with me tonight, but there are some of you tonight that are sitting at home that are thinking, the Lord is holding out on me. There are things I need to try. There are foods I need to eat. There are drinks I need to consume, because somehow if I don't, I'm going to miss out on something. And the Lord is desperately trying to save you. But oh, we've got to eat that stuff. We've got to drink that stuff. We've got to try that stuff. We've got to stimulate a body that doesn't need stimulating. Because we're afraid that somehow we're missing some kind of wisdom. And all we're doing is falling into the wisdom of fools. Listen, friends, I've heard of parents saying, if my child is going to drink, I want them to drink in my home so they can learn and experience in my house. Can I hear a Lord have mercy? Yes, my parents provided my first alcoholic beverage for me so that I could drink in the safety of my home. And all you're doing as a parent is giving your child the permission to be a fool. Oh, friends, I'm going to step on some toes today. Our church is full of caffeine, alcohol, caffeineaholics. Oh, we laugh while we allow ourselves to destroy our central nervous system with a stimulant that only stimulated us and woke us up for the first week that we consumed it. And now we have to drink coffee just to feel the way we felt before we ever drank the first cup. And then we have the caffeine whispering in our ear constantly. We only have a still small voice of God, and we have that still small voice muzzled by an acceptable addiction. That's talking to us constantly and saying, you can't stay awake without me. Listen to me, friends. You can't stay awake without me. And we're not able to hear the Spirit of God saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life for you today. We are told that we can't fit in socially unless we drink with our friends and co-workers. But is that true? As we give in and drink that beer with our co-workers, we allow our personal witness to be diluted in the alcohol that we're consuming to show our friends that we accept their lifestyle. Friends, we cannot change the world if we become like the world. As Seventh-day Adventists, we have a very distinct health message that sets us apart. Why should the world want to join us if we're just like them? 150 years ago, as Seventh-day Adventists, we knew that being a vegetarian was superior to eating meat. 150 years ago, and now modern science is saying what? Modern science has had to take over the Seventh-day Adventist health message because we're not preaching it or living it anymore. Can I hear a Lord have mercy? There is no healthy way to consume the carcass of a dead animal. There's no healthy way. The moment you take animal fat and heat it above 250 degrees, it becomes a class 1 carcinogen. What does that mean? A carcinogen means it becomes fertilizer for the cancer that is living in our system. And you can't eat it raw because the bacteria level is so high that the bacteria itself in the meat will kill you. There's no healthy way to eat meat, friends. There's no healthy way. There's no safe way to consume it. And then on top of it, the meat today in the modern society is not safe to eat because it's full of penicillin and antibiotics. Unless you're eating meat, the last time I ate a steak, I was on the Navajo reservation. It tasted like sage because that's all that cow ate was sage. You can't get meat like that in South Florida. It's grown in a feedlot. It's on the verge of death by the time they kill it and then they serve it to us. Friends, I'm talking about a health message that we choose to ignore. Friends, I'm going to refer to you some books because I could preach a whole series on it tonight. Read these books tonight. Pick them up in your local library. Find them online. First book I want to tell you is read The Ministry of Healing, written by Ellen White. Modern science is just catching up with what she penned 150 years ago. Ministry of Healing, pick it up. Friends, when I was struggling with believing in our prophet, I picked up that book. It was assigned reading when I was in college. I read that book and realized that she must have been a prophet to write that 150 years ago. Ministry of Healing. Next book I want you to pick up, you can read it just bit by bit, Counsels on Diet and Food, written by Ellen White. You want to be healthy today. And then another book that you need to read, these are three books you must have in your home as a Seventh-day Adventist, is The Advent Home. Friends, that book is so current, it was as if she wrote it today. And she wrote it over 100 years ago. The Advent Home. You want to change your life because, friends, our bodies, our minds, and our souls are intricately designed to work together. There's no mistake that the devil chose food to make us question whether or not God was right. It was no mistake that our diets are directly connected to our ability to connect with God. And the devil knows that if he can give us an unhealthy diet, we will become spiritually unhealthy and spiritually weak. I'm going to challenge you, friends, that if you're eating food that is refined more than one step, it has become toxic. And then each level of refinement it gets away from its original form, it becomes that much more toxic. Do you realize that modern science has told us that that purified sugar is a toxin that should be controlled the same way as any other drug? That when that research came out in the early 2000s, the governor of New York and said we need to cut down on the size of the drinks that we're serving in schools and in businesses. And they even suggested that candy should be regulated the same way as alcohol and cigarettes when it came for children to buy it. that in North America, they don't have to worry about controlling the population of North America. They just feed us the most unhealthy food we could possibly buy. Call it a treat. Call it what we give our children for love. And watch us pours in our children and families. I cry, parents, if you're watching this as a parent, I cry when you serve a Lunchable to your child for lunch. There is nothing in a Lunchable that will not shorten your child's life and destroy them physically. Have mercy on us as Seventh-day Adventists when we turn our backs, because the Lord wants us to live a life. John 10, verse 9 through 11. Let's just go through verse 10. John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's God's plan for you. Do you know that if you're willing to just accept what God has asked you to eat and eat what He has given you to eat the way He asks you to eat it, He's not taking stuff away. He's giving you a life full. Listen, friends, I'm not telling you, I might look healthy, but I'm not a healthy person. I'm a diabetic. I have to watch my health because I need to live for my family. You know, so many times a parent says, I will do anything for my children. I will die for my children. But I'm challenging you fathers to live for your children today. They need you to be alive and strong and at 100% for them. They don't need a dead father dying of a heart attack tonight. They need a healthy, strong father who will not be just there for them today, but who will be in a position to be a leader in their family as a grandfather to them. But oh, we'll eat any old thing, and we will just do whatever we want to do, and we will live our lives any old way, but we're being irresponsible as parents, as fathers, and as husbands. There is a spiritual and physical relationship that we have to face in our responsibility to our families and our communities and our churches today. And as Seventh-day Adventists, we have known it for 150 years, but many of us live our lives as if it doesn't matter at all. In Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27, there is a story of a wise man and a foolish man who each built a home. And we can relate to this in Florida, right? Because in Florida, what do we build our houses on most of the time? Just on sand. In fact, it's really, really nice to build a house on sand. I will tell you, there are advantages to building a house on sand. Let me tell you, when you lay a cement slab on sand, your foundation actually stays pretty stable. If you don't build it over a sinkhole, but that's another whole story. That's a different sermon. But you build your house on sand. Sand gets nice and solid, and you build your foundation on it, and it's easy. Build your house on rock, it's a little more work. I'm not going to pretend it's not easy. It's easy to build your house on a rock. I will tell you, I grew up in South Africa at Helderberg College. It's in the Hottentots Holland Mountain Range. And we built a new church when I was there in the 1970s. I was one of the first groups of kids to get baptized in that church at Helderberg College. And when they built that church, they put the foundation all the way down on rock. And you say, that's good. Your foundation's on rock. It's going to be solid. Yes, but rock expands and contracts. They were constantly having to fill in places in the church as a result of the expanding and contracting. And I will tell you, the wise man who built his house on the rock looks down at the man in the valley who built his house on sand, and he's thinking, man, his foundation is steady. It's not expanding and contracting as his slab expands and contracts. It just moves comfortably on the sand. But I'm having to maintain my house up here on the rock. But I'm telling you, friends, the storm is coming. This year, it seems like we've dodged another bullet in South Florida. We haven't had a hurricane come by this year. It's hit everybody else but us. Most of the storm stayed in the Atlantic. We win this year, but we know that one day the storm is coming. They've hit in the past. They're going to come here in the future. And you can build your house on sand, but I will tell you, friends, that a house on sand is a person who is living their life as if the storm isn't going to come. I'm going to tell you, young people who are listening to me tonight, what you eat today determines what you're going to look like when you turn 50. You are building the 50-year-old man today by the food you're eating today. And you might think you're going to live forever, but I'm telling you, aim for the future. Because, friends, spiritually, we're aiming for the kingdom. And I will tell you that if you are physically off the rails, spiritually, you are not on the rails either. Because your body is the receiver of the messages of the Holy Spirit. And if your mind and your body are not healthy, you cannot hear the voice of God as clearly as you would otherwise. I'm not saying that what you eat is going to send you to hell. But who you hear and don't hear will. Don't let me fool with you tonight. I'm going to tell you the truth. There are people who will stumble around it and beat around the bush. But I'm telling you, friends, it's time for us now as a church to get on the bandwagon, get physically healthy so we can hear the word of God, because we're living at the end of time. And if any of you have been sad enough to have ended up in a hospital in Florida, you can't afford it. You get charged three times for every one thing you have done. And I'm going to tell you right now, you either pay your grocer or you pay the doctor, but you're going to pay somebody. And I'd rather pay the grocer than the doctor. The wise man built his house upon the rock of health and was willing to work to build that home, because it's easy to dig around in the sand and play and be happy. But I will tell you, building on the rock takes work and commitment and time and effort. When you're trying to put those foundations in, you got to put a jackhammer to work to get it in. Because we know that the storm of life are coming, and it's going to be difficult and it's going to be hard. And when it rains, I will tell you, when it rains, you wish that you were on the rock. The man built his house on the rock, and he looked sometimes enviously. And I will tell you, there are some times when I go out to eat with friends and I'm choosing to eat the healthy food, and I've got the green beans and I've got the cauliflower and I've got all that stuff sitting on my plate, and I could look over and see that poor dead animal that had been sacrificed for that person's meal, and thinking, okay, maybe eating a little bit of the corpse of a dead creature might be delicious. You can sit in your house on the rock and you can admire that poor dead creature, that semi-roadkill that your friend's going to eat. And man, it's been slow cooked and delicious, and it's well done, and it's been marinated in the A1 sauce. Can I hear a Lord have mercy? And it's looking delicious there. And you think, boy, if I could only eat a mouthful of that. I'm not saying that living on the rock is easy, friends. I'm not saying building a house on the rock is easy. But the storm is coming. We know the storm is coming. And there's a time that you got to pay for it. And what you reap, you will sow. That's a biblical concept, friends. And what you are reaping, you're going to sow. Young people, you are building your 50-year-old body tonight. We've got to take time to take care of ourselves. And the decisions we make now determine who and what we're going to be in the future. I've got a friend, Javier Ortiz. He's struggling with cancer right now. And he said, you know, when they wanted to diagnose where his cancer was, you know what they injected in the site of the cancer so that it would light up? Glucose. You see, friends, a diet in high sugar, is like throwing gasoline on the cancer fire that you have smoldering in your body. And he says, the cancer just lights up. You can see it clearly because of the glucose bath that they put in. They know exactly where it is, so they know how to attack it with the chemo. Friends, your diet matters. I want you to try something at night. For those of you who are having a hard time giving up bacon, how many of you eat worms? I remember when I was a kid growing up. And we were poor, and on the mission field, we got weevils in with the wheat that my father was adding to the soup, and it got into the pasta that was in the soup, and I remember my dad, you know, getting the pasta, and it was all there, and all of a sudden there were little worms floating on the top of the soup, and we were dirt poor, friends. We were dirt poor when we lived in South Africa. We had no money. My dad said, "That's okay, man. The worms, all they've eaten is pasta. Just go ahead and eat the worms." And we had our gardener there. His name was Kenyas, and I said, "I bet Kenyas will eat the soup." And Kenyas looked at the soup and he says, "Ikonabas, no, I'm not going to eat the soup." And we said, "Oh, why aren't you going to eat Ikonas, no, in Zulu?" And he said, "Well, why aren't you going to eat the soup? Bas, there are worms in the soup." I want you to try something with your children tonight. You want to gross them out? But go ahead and buy a pork steak, put it in a pan, and soak it in Coca-Cola and watch the worms crawl out. There's a reason why. There's a reason why. Every single health principle that you will find in Leviticus, it's not that God was trying to deny us something. It was that God was trying to keep us safe. Joel Osteen, a guy who I make fun of from the pulpit all the time, but every once in a while he hits a nail on the head. He preached the sermon on the Levitical codes, and he told his elders, "Lock the doors. I want my people to stay and hear this." There's a reason why the major monotheistic religions of the world banned the eating of pork. It's a filthy meat. And then all the diseases from pigs are easily transferred to people. That's why we have the flu. Do you know that? The flus all start in Asia. Why do they start in Asia? Because people in Asia live with their pigs in their homes. The pigs transfer the flu to the people. The people then transfer the flu to the rest of the world. And that's how they start making the vaccines, is they go over there and see what they got to make sure that we don't get what they got. They make the flu vaccine. That's where it comes from. There's a reason why the Lord wants us to be healthy. He wants His people. Do you want to be His people? To live a life that is rich and full. You see, back in the Garden of Eden, the devil planted the seed of doubt into God's intention for us. And what we eat and how we live plays out whether or not we believe God is holding out on us or not. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you're sitting at home and struggling, pray to God. Get on your knees and say, "Father in heaven, I'm struggling with my unbelief in your plan for my life." But friends, we've got to live a life loud and proud that we believe that God has a plan for our life and our salvation and our health tonight. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Please, I was terrified to preach the sermon, but I'm preaching you the truth today. We want God and say we believe in God and we believe in salvation and we have our faith in him, but we won't even eat the food that he asks us to eat to be healthy and strong for him so that he can speak to us in our health and our strength. The Bible says that Abraham's faith is what saved him, but we show our faith to God in the small ways in what we eat and how we treat ourselves physically. That's just the diet part. And then there's the exercise part. Oh, friends, I know it gets hot in Florida and you don't want to leave your house because you get hot, nasty, and sweaty. I understand that. But friends, we got to get out and move because what you don't use, you lose. And I'm not talking about going out and running a marathon. I'm talking about just getting out and walking and make it a family activity, friends. Take your children with you. Go and take your dog with you. If you're a wife, take your husband with you. If you're a husband, take your wife with you. Leave the wretched cell phones at home. Walk and talk together and build your relationships with your family in physical activity. You can do this tonight. We're starting the dry season now. It's time to start getting out and walking with your family in the evening as the suns are setting early and it's not bright and it's not cooking you. Get out with your family, develop the relationship, and start moving tonight, because the more you use your body, the stronger it gets. The more you use your mind, the stronger it gets. The Lord has designed us to get off the couch, shut off the Netflix. Can I hear a Lord have mercy? Shut down Hulu. Turn off the Disney Channel. Walk and talk with your family. Leave that wretched cell phone and the devices at home for just 30 to 45 minutes tonight and get moving tonight. Tonight. Start tonight. Sleep. So many of us don't think we need sleep. Your mind cannot function unless you let it sleep. Sleep is a weapon. The more sleep and the more rested you are, the more capable you are going to be to face the day. And Ellen White said this 150 years ago, that the sleep you get before midnight is four times more important than the sleep you get after. Now, that's interesting, because just 3 years ago, modern science did not just say that it was four times more important. They said it was up to seven times more important. But we stay up to watch the late show so that we can go to bed close to midnight, denying us the sleep that we truly need to be strong and healthy the next day. And let me tell you, for those of you who are trying to lose weight out there, sleep is central to maintaining a healthy physical body. The rest you need, you're denying yourself. There is a direct correlation between sleep deprivation and obesity. Friends, God wants you to live a life more abundant and stronger and better. Do you have the faith to do it tonight? Sleep is important to setting your body's metabolism. Sleep is central for good mental health. We've got people struggling with depression. They're sitting up all night long looking at their devices, being poisoned by the blue light, which robs us the ability to sleep. And then we wonder why our children are suffering from depression and mental illness. And it's because they need rest. And then the next thing, friend, is Sabbath rest. One day a week where you take off, you unplug, and you spend it with God. And I'm going to challenge you tonight to make Sabbath, except when you're watching church, a device-free technology-free day. Unplug it, shut it off, put it away. Listen, I can say that because I grew up in olden times where the phones were attached to the wall, but the people were free. Now the phones are not attached to the wall, and we are the slaves of our technology. Can I hear a Lord have mercy? If we could survive back in olden times without a phone all day long, you can do it for a day. Shut it off. Put it away. And spend that time with your God and your family. And then there are some of us, Lord have mercy, who we spend a lot of time in ministry on the Sabbath. Make sure that you have a Sunday of rest. I know, I'm sorry, I'm not a papist. Have mercy on me today. But there's got to be a day where you shut off and you recharge. Pastors work all Sabbath. They need to have another day. You got to have a day. And sometimes we keep the Sabbath day holy, working for God. We still need a day of rest. You got a day of rest to recharge. Friends, you cannot be effective in ministry. You cannot be effective as a father. You cannot be effective as a mother unless you are getting the rest you need. You cannot make good decisions when you're exhausted. I remember going on a mission trip once with my students when I worked in Tennessee, and we went to Peru, and we were doing a building project as well as going and touring with the choir all over Lima, Peru. And the choir would tour in the evening, and then we would work construction in the daytime. Now, I was the main sponsor, and so I decided that I, in my foolishness, had to go on tour with the choir because I sang with the choir. We would get back at midnight. Then we'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to start the building project. The kids in the choir were able to sleep in, but I did. By the time I got back from that trip, I could not make a decision. I could not make an effective decision. I couldn't remember what I'd done 10 minutes before. I'd been living on two, three hours of sleep for 2 weeks, and I couldn't function. Somebody would ask me, well, you just said that 5 minutes ago. You can't remember. And people thought I was a liar. I just couldn't remember what I had done, what I had said, because I lacked sleep and I had to take time off just to rest. Friends, we've got a God that wants to live a life that's abundant and true and full and strong. Do you have the faith to do it His way? Do you have the faith to do it His way when it comes to physical health? Because friends, if we are unwilling to do it His way in physical health, does that mean we're going to do it His way when we get to the kingdom of heaven? Friends, we've got to live our lives now as if we are in the kingdom of heaven, so that when we get there, we're going to be happy there. We've got to crave a balanced, simple life that feeds us and gives us the ability to do God's will, or else we're going to be lost. Your health, and your salvation are intertwined. And I'm begging you this evening to live for your families, live for your children, and live for your God until He comes to take you home. Thank you so much.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.